pair of tickets to see the Blackhawks against the Anaheim Ducks. Quack. February 13th, you can be entered to win a Four Seasons tickets for season tickets for next year. Thanks to our friends at Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Four Seasons, find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com or on Facebook. And that is coming your way at 5:50, 5:50, 10 minutes before 6 tonight. How about that? Quack. Ducks.
Mm-hmm.
Quack. All right. As you just heard in Judy's big story, the president showed up in Springfield today doing a victory lap. And is it really?
Back to where he announced his candidacy for president, what, 9 years ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was it really a victory lap? Quack. Rick Pearson is on the Super Celebrity Hotline for the Chicago Tribune. I don't know. Don't ask. Quack. All right. Well, I don't know. I find the whole thing rather curious. Is there any explanation for what happened here, Rick?
You know, it's kind of interesting to have the president who oversees a dysfunctional Washington come to the state capital of dysfunction and talk about civility and a better politic. I think more of the victory lap is probably more. It's kind of like a, you know, this is my last go round. This was a lame duck tour, and you know, it was an hour long speech and filled with a lot of reminiscences of his days here in Springfield.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is, you know, he's talked about a number of these issues before. The issue of there's too much money in politics. He poses Citizen United and said there should be a constitutional amendment, but that's going nowhere. Redrawing the districts of congressmen to make it less of a political process. You know, a lot of these things are easier said than done, and you know, it's all speaking to a higher purpose that we should have more civility, and compromise shouldn't be a dirty word, but. I mean, that's where our politics is today.
Well, it's sort of cinematic, right? He's coming back to the place where it all began to give this speech. It's like the last scene of the movie, right, where he talks about what his vision for the future would be, and if only, you know, he could have lasted long enough to be able to get us there, but he couldn't, and that now that he's sat in this position, this is where it should be, and, you know, and it's I suppose, all so very lovely, but what does it really yield?
Right. I mean, one thing I thought was interesting, I mean, he did delve a little bit into some of the issues here in Springfield. He mentioned very much that he was a supporter of unions and collective bargaining, which drew big cheers from the Democratic side of the aisle, because, of course, that's one of the issues at the root of this state budget impasse that we're without a budget for 8 months. And then at one point when he was talking about just because you compromise doesn't mean that you're a sellout. And then he pointedly noted State Representative Ken Duncan, who is a Democrat that has been siding with Republican Governor Bruce Rauner, effectively denying Democrats their 71-vote majority. And Obama said, you know, sit down, Duncan, I'll talk to you later. Which that actually got, I think, the biggest reaction in the entire chamber was noting that part of the dispute.
Mm-hmm. What do you make of all this? Because, you know, is it a victory lap? Is it him just coming home? I mean, what was actually behind the president coming here? It can't just be to give a lesson in civility. I mean, is that what it is?
Well, I mean, you know, I do think it is part of the farewell tour of you know, being able to look back, and he himself acknowledged again, as he did in the State of the Union address, that he wished he had been able to do more to try to bring some of the civility that had existed in Springfield when he was here to the politics of Washington, and that's one of his biggest regrets. But no, I mean, it was, as I said, he spoke for an hour and then went to another reception just down the street here from the State House, and he spoke there for about 45 minutes.
Oh, wow.
He's got another minute to do.
I mean, when he gives speeches, they're normally 20 minutes, unless it's a major address. But so for 50 minutes, I mean, there was definitely kind of a comfort factor here.
Oh, yeah.
In talking to and kind of giving shout outs to various members of the General Assembly that he served with. And he says, you know, a better politics is my goal, because even next year I'll have the biggest title of all, and that will be citizen. But again, I don't see any movement on these issues at all.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, and it's. And really, what difference is it going to make?
Well, that's it. That's it.
Well, I mean, if you were to get something to the effect of, you know, reducing the influence of dark money in politics, if you were able to do something like that, that might have an effect. But also, you know, when he talks about the rhetoric and the sharp name calling, and that it's having this corrosive effect that's turning people off of politics. Well, I mean, I think a lot of people have been turned off of politics for a long time.
Mm-hmm. My favorite parts were the anecdotes he talked about. He said what he was getting hazed as when
right.
he first sat down was in Springfield, and they asked him, "Is that Irish, Obama? What is that?" And he said, "It will be if I run countywide." And they were giving him a hard time about his name and what he stood for and how he couldn't get his bill presented at all.
Yeah, that's the typical first bill hazing rule here, and then when the bill gets called on the board, it everybody votes against it and then turns and then changes their vote to pass it. But you know, and you know, truly the Springfield from Obama's time is a vastly different place than it is today. I mean, there was some civility, there was a modicum of cooperation. It was not the true type of winner-take-all politics that, you know, we think of Washington and
well,
that's permeated to Springfield.
Yeah, I mean, Rick, you've been doing this a long time, and you know the reason for that, because everybody was stealing the same amount of money.
Well,
I mean, now
they're all padding their pockets.
Right. Now one group's stealing better than the other group, right? And so now they're getting mad. And I know that sounds flippant, but there's a ring of truth to it. I mean, they were all on the same page in terms of what they were doing, trying to protect commensurate interests. And that is no longer the case. I mean, you've got people who want to come in and interrupt the system. It's what Bruce Rauner was elected to do. That's what he said he was going to do, and that's what he wants to do. But interrupting the system is not exactly as easy as it appears.
Right. No, and that's I mean, it's as you say, that interrupting the system, or how do you work within the system to affect change? And yeah, there were much more shared interests even among Republicans and Democrats, you know, 20 years ago than what you're seeing today. And but at the same time, you know, back then you did have Republicans and Democrats, Republican governors, Democratic legislators. You know, there was a concept of where they wanted to go. Of course, you know, look at the financial burdens that are plaguing the state today, many of those which began back then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. the irony for this, for those who have watched this for as long as you have, or I guess, you know, to some degree that Anna and I have, and I, you know, it's just, you spend any kind of time down there, or you get to understand the system, you get to understand the players and know what their motivations are,
right?
Cover
mm-hmm.
enough stories of where there was actual, not just perceived, actual mm-hmm. stealing. It's just ironic that he's down there and he's sitting there, you know, lecturing these guys, which, by the way, that's where he's going to be. This whole idea of him getting on some sort of corporate lecture circuit like Hillary Clinton got on, or, you know, or whatever. I mean, this is if he does anything in his post-presidency, and there have been a few who have done this. I think Wilson did this, if I'm not mistaken. Didn't Wilson become a college president after he was president of the United States?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I see Barack Obama as the president of Yale. I see him as... you know, going on into something like that where he gets to go make all these speeches that are all of an academic nature, because I think that really is the hallmark of his presidency.
Well, he's good at it. And I think, and I couldn't help when I was listening to the speech, and I listened to the first 40 minutes at home, then I drove to work, and it was still going on, and I listened to the tail end. It felt like a little bit of a professor speaking, a little of the lessons of history and bringing us up to the present. And he kind of took himself out of it, other than the anecdotes and this whole message of civility in the context of history.
Well, yes. And, of course, the whole idea of that lecturing concept is that's been long been one of the principal knocks against him, is that, you know, rather than talking to people, that he puts himself above and lectures down to people. And, of course, his background is he was a constitutional lecturer at the University of Chicago. But, yeah, but that was there was always that kind of issue of how relatable is Obama, and the big conflict was always the fact of, is he talking at you or to you?
Yeah. You know, and that's one of the things that one of the criticisms last night is we were watching the nation was watching the acceptance speeches of all the different folks, and one of the things about Donald Trump is he gets accused of being too I, me, mine. Right. Everything is in the first person.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen to the president, he does the same thing. He has for almost since he took office, he's had that problem. This is my military. These are my generals. My army did this, or my Navy, you know, my secretary of state, my secretary of the treasury. And I've always found that to be just a little off-putting. And I didn't sort of see that coming from him. He ran as the anti kind of guy. He's an us and we guy, right? Yes, we can. And then the minute he got there, it was right. Sort of, it was I, me, mine. And now I'm thinking, my God, if Trump gets there, then what does he do?
Yeah, he's nowhere near as bad as Trump when it comes to that stuff.
It just worries me.
Even after the presidency.
The office did that to Barack Obama. Imagine what it will do to Donald Trump. So, well, we'll see what happens. All right, well, Rick, you got the hazard pay. You were down there today. Congratulations. You sat through two long speeches.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
At least it wasn't outside, right? So
right.
That's the nice part.
And I will tell you, it is every bit as cold as it was when he the day he announced. It is just absolutely bitter outside.
Who was his first bro hug when he walked into was there any major bro hug players down there?
Well, when he came into the building, he actually went up to the John Cullerton, the Senate President's office, and where the Senate Democrats were gathered, and he actually gave the first hug he gave in Springfield was actually to a Republican.
Redonio?
No. It was a former state senator, Dave Sullivan, who was outside the little restaurant where Obama stopped to pick up some barley soup on his way to the Capitol.
So it's like going back to college. Isn't that what it's like? It's like you go back to college, you go to the diner that you always used to go to, and you're going to be, hey, here's the bar. Remember, I threw up in this. Remember? Oh, let's go back there.
Life was so much simpler then.
Oh, woohoo. Look at this.
He didn't order a horseshoe. That's what everybody, I think, was waiting for, the great Springfield delicacy.
Yeah. Oh, dear God. All right. Thank you, Rick.
All right. Thanks,
bye. Guys. Bye. Rick Pearson, Chicago Tribune. You can read him, ChicagoTribune.com, Tribune.com. Okay. Here we go. Don't anybody move. Violetta Pyotr-Medic's got the WGN traffic trouble spots. How's the Air Force One able to get out of Springfield properly? Is that okay?
Yeah, I think it was fine. I don't know how Trump's airplane's doing.
Yeah, right. He's got a little trouble on his. and the trouble is him being on it. But that's a separate issue.
I think he's fine on it. I don't know if anyone else is invited on it.